Good morning.
Good morning.
I was waiting for my cue for like 10 minutes, so I think I understand now, Pastor Rory, how you feel. Well, welcome to Broad Ministries. Just in case you didn't realize, I get to be the one who gets to teach you today. So as to get started like I usually do, I got one. I have one fan. So I'll get started with the verse I like to start with. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives indwelling me. And the Zoe life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me unconditionally and who gave himself up as a substitute for me. You know, like I always say, this is why we're here today. It's that way we can actually look back at this Christ who gave himself up for us. You know, we're here to be transformed, just like we read about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Says, and do not be conformed to this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that way you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And before we get started, like usual, we want to have June start off with a song. We're going to have her sing, God is Faithful. One day we will. Wow, that sounds a lot different from back here. So, let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of getting to study the absolute truth, the Word of God. Please help us today to learn about unity. Help us to learn how to lean on others, even with those whom we don't agree with. Help us to get along even though things don't always go our way. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and in Christ's name, amen. So welcome again to Barah Ministries. My name is Caleb Alburn, and I'm a deacon here at Barah, just in case there's anyone here who's listening who doesn't already know that. And again, I'm going to be teaching the Lord's Supper message today. And I remember when Pastor Roy let me know I was going to be teaching it. Well, the very first thing that went through my head is unity. And the second thing that went through my head is, well, I'm not going to be here. So Deacon Elliot ended up teaching. And apparently he stole the lesson because he taught on unity. So now it looks like I actually stole the lesson. But I assure you, I didn't. So I'm not going to let that deter me. I'll still go ahead and teach on unity. So there you go. That's the Lord's Supper message for today. But before I do, we're going to get started as usual with some announcements, which is mark your calendars. Next Lord's Supper already, because apparently no one cares about mine. We're already looking at the next one. It's going to be January 12th, 2014. And Deacon Elliot will be teaching that, unless you're out of town.
No, I'm going to be teaching that.
Perfect. We'll just do the same lesson. No one's ever going to know. Also, there's going to be no face-to-face teaching, as we already know, December 29th, and no face-to-face teaching on January 24th. Then, of course, we have a birthday. Happy birthday to Ryan Saloom. A little late. Happy birthday today, Ryan.
I think he's 16, going on 12.
That's the best age. And happy birthday to Maureen, but she's gone. But she'll hear this, so happy birthday to Maureen. And we don't have a slide for it yet, but I was going to go, I was going to teach on the technology part. Just for the announcements, I was going to do the technology. But we don't even need that anymore because, believe it or not, Jennifer Brumbach now has a smartphone. So congratulations. So we don't need to tell everybody about all the technology that we hear that we have to offer. I'm going to invite Brielle and Mandy up here because they want to let you know a little bit about just a recap on the Adopt the Family program that we did. So we'll have those two come up here now.
Oh, I forgot the tape. That's okay. It's all up here. Is this on? We good?
Is this thing on?
Testing. You guys are lucky you get me and Kay today.
Hello.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Rory. Me and Mandy just wanted to say thank you to everyone who donated for the adoptive family this Christmas. We went above and beyond my expectations, and I'm pretty sure the organizations and the families, they won't receive their stuff yet, but Mandy dropped it off for me last Tuesday, and they were amazed, as was I. We had non-resident congregation people that donated, and everyone here donated.
So just to give you guys an idea of how awesome you guys are, when we loaded everything in my car, seriously, my car was weighed down. Like, I was uncomfortable driving because I was like, am I going to pop a tire? I couldn't see out the back window. So I pull up, and when the lady comes to my trunk to pull everything out, literally she gasped and jumped back, not even making that up. And she was just blown away by the amount, not only the amount, but the quality of the gifts that you guys donated were just awesome. So just to give you a rough idea, this isn't everything, but just so you kind of can see what we all put together. There was an iPod that was engraved. It was actually from Monica Miller, right?
Yeah.
And it said, Merry Christmas, Nancy, Barah Ministries. Awesome. There was an iPad donated. There was like 3 bags of brand new clothes. There was 3 bags of toys, books. There was over $250 worth of gift cards given, which is awesome. That's going to provide them, enough to buy food and things like that for quite a while. There was also a Christmas tree donated because they didn't have one apparently. And then all the decorations, lights, bulbs, a star, the stand, there was wrapping paper donated so the mom can wrap it. So are all the presents. There was also an Angie Will Be Saved book tossed in there and a Bible or two. So make sure that we represent our Lord in there as well. So, you know, I just want to say thank you. It meant a lot to Brielle, and I think that Barah Ministries, we're kind of like in the stage of this awkward teenager stage. It's kind of how I see us. Like, we're not really a new church, but we're not where we want to be, so we're kind of at that awkward moment, and I think that we're all starting to see that church is more than just coming here and learning and leaving. You know, it's a lot more than that, and it's reaching out to those that are less fortunate, and it's reaching out to your community and making a difference in a multitude of ways, and this was just a small way that we can give back. And thank you, Brielle, for kind of lighting a spark under all of us, coming in here and giving us this idea. So look forward to more community outreach things. If anybody has any ideas, definitely talk to Brielle and I about it. There's going to be some more things to come. And just thank you guys for supporting it, and I look forward to seeing what we can continue to do as a congregation.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Engraved iPods and iPads. I'm in the wrong family. Again, I'm never going to get down. It's not safe now. We're going to go ahead. We're going to do the offering. We're going to have Deacon Denny come up, and he'll take the offering for us.
Thank you, Caleb. Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries. We're a Christian church that pursues truth in the Word of God. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so that you can worship, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any material for Barah Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to provide for yourself and for others with your contributions. And today I want to talk a little bit about unity. No, I'm just kidding. That would be funny, though. Anyway, it's funny how life can teach us so much if our eyes are open. I see homeless people every day because of where my shop is located. It's an industrial zone, plus there's two or three kitchens, soup kitchens, that feed the needy with free meals. So they're basically all over the place. And in general, I feel sorry for them, but they really make me feel fortunate for what I do have. Recently I realized that I'm also fortunate for what I don't have. We gave some blankets and pillows to one of the guys we see all the time, Gene. He's really rough, but he's a real nice guy. He wasn't as happy as we thought he would be. So my friend Ryan, who was with me, asked Gene, you know, do you need more blankets? Do you need more bedding? And Gene said, no, I'll just give them away to my girlfriend and my friends. He said, I don't want anything else to worry about. You see, he didn't want the extra blankets. He didn't want what we thought he needed. He doesn't want a house. He doesn't want all that stuff. You see, he's content with what he does have. You know, when I look at him, I think he's probably striving for a real home. But he's not. He's happy with what he doesn't have. And we should see what we don't have as a blessing as well, just like suffering for blessing. The fact that we don't have a building yet is a blessing. God knows exactly what we need or what we don't need. We see in Matthew 6, verse 32, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He already knows exactly what we need or don't need. It's kind of like the Israelites heading to the Red Sea, having the Egyptians chase them. You know, they ran to the sea probably thinking, hopefully there's some boats there. They're looking for a boat, just like we're looking for a house. But it didn't come that way. God just totally flipped it on them and gave them more than they actually could ever think of. So just remember, as you give as a suggestion in Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each one must do just as is purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So give in unity. Thank you.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Glory to the world, the Savior reigns, let men their songs employ.
While field and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders and wonders of His love.
Danny doesn't need notes. Don't look at that. So again, today's study, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. We're going to be on unity. And before we get started with this lesson, and since I'm still clearly in the process of copying Deacon Elliott's lessons, I'm going to share briefly about my experience at the VA hospital. But that's only because that's just a coincidence. He happened to go to the VA hospital right before he did his Lord's Supper, and I happened to go to the VA hospital right before my Lord's Supper message. So that's just how it turned out. But mine was much different than Elliot's. You see, I was hoping that I was going to go and I was going to get to meet somebody with the most amazing stories, you know, going to get to meet and talk with someone who's killed like a dozen men or maybe even better, like saved a dozen men. Well, the gentleman that I met had a quite different story, actually. So I'll share that. Just like Pastor Roy talked a little bit, I had just sat down after we had probably spent about 30 minutes going to each and every one of their rooms and wheeling them into this little cafeteria and giving them ice cream with sprinkles and root beer floats and so on and so forth. So I had just sat down after that. And then Susie comes, just rolls this nice gentleman over to me. So we sat down and we introduced each other, and I found out that his name was James. But I noticed something about James right away. He was incredibly lucid. Should have been, considering who we were talking to, that should have been a red flag. But I'm like, I counted that as bonus. I'm like, sweet, I'm going to get the very detailed stories. And like Elliot, I didn't just want to come out right away and just start asking him all of the good questions. So I needed to ease my way into it. And we had the football game on, so that was easy. We started talking about sports right away. And I found out very quickly that James doesn't like football at all. Okay, I could take a message. So we switched to basketball really fast. And I found out that he's a diehard Lakers fan. And his rationale is because they always win. So again, should have been another red flag. Then we ended up talking about sports for a while, so then I was able to use that into a nice little prequel and, you know, get myself into there. So I asked him, I go, hey, James, you know, what branch of the military were you in? And he let me know he's in the Air Force. Woo-hoo. So, I was excited because I'm like, okay, I can get some Air Force stories out of you. So I asked him, you know, I said, so, James, you're in the Air Force. Did you ever jump out of an airplane? And he told me, he goes, yeah, I went to jumping school. So I'm like, okay, we can work with that. So I asked him, well, did you ever jump out during combat? And he goes, well, no, never during combat. So I'm like, okay. So you only jumped out during jumping school. That's awesome. You know, like, how many jumps did you have? And then he goes, well, I never really jumped out of an airplane. You see, they just taught us how to jump out of an airplane in case you ever needed to jump out of an airplane. Okay? So then I went on to the next one. I'm like, okay, well, clearly he wasn't jumping out of airplanes. So then I asked him, I go, well, you know, you're in the Air Force. Did you fly in any planes? Well, this is where it got interesting. He goes, yeah, you know, I flew the B-52s. Awesome. So then I asked him, like, well, great, what did you do? And he's like, well, you know, I just flew around with the crew. Now I'm thinking he's just playing hard to get. Now I know. So then I go, you know, that's awesome. So you're a pilot then, right? Well, no. I just kind of helped out on the plane. Okay. See, now I'm disappointed because I need something to bring back to Elliot. That's, I know that I'm a terrible person, but that's what I was thinking in my mind, that I needed a story too. So now I'm just fishing. And I asked James a question that I know I'm not supposed to ask, but I was desperate. But I was trying to be strategic. I didn't just want to come out and say it, so I tried to be slick. So in the middle of the conversation, you know, I was like, so, James, did you see any combat? And then, of course, in perfect James fashion, well, no. He said he just mainly stayed on the ground at the base where it was safe. Okay, well, thank you, James. And Elliot, just in case you're curious, my conclusion afterwards is clearly he was a spy. It's the only thing that makes sense after all of that, is that he was a spy. And he saved the war single-handedly. Every war. I really don't have a VA story. That's it. But in all sincerity, this somehow, I promise, this will go into the lesson. I was moved by what I saw at the VA hospital. You know, it was all of these war vets with the most diverse backgrounds and clearly even more diverse stories. They're all sitting in this room, and they're still united after all these years with a common bond. You know, and it was summed up to me from another war vet, and this is what he said to me. He said, it doesn't matter if you like that person or not. They're your teammate, and you're always going to have their back. So I'm going to repeat that. He said, it doesn't matter if you like the other person or not. That person is your teammate, and you're always going to have their back. That is unity. You know, that's a relationship. And that, like I said, is going to be the topic of the Lord's Supper today. It's all of us having the exact same mind of Christ. You know, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:16 that we have the mind of Christ. And we hear the passage all the time in Philippians. We usually hear Philippians 2:5, but I'm going to go through the entire passage there. It says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But instead he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, like I said, we hear that passage often. And the verse that we always highlight, of course, is Philippians 2:5. And when I was studying, I really liked the way that the NIV says it. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. Well, at least for one moment every month, we get to do this as a ministry. We get to share in that same mindset, and we get to look back at the cross. And we get to celebrate the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as a ministry, you know, I was thanking Pastor Rory for giving me a nice lead into my message. As a ministry, I want to take a look back also. I want to look back over this last year that we've had. All the ups and downs and all the bumps and bruises that we've been through. And in sincerity, I want to give us some kudos for sticking through thick and thin. You know, Pastor Rory, he came in the beginning of this year, and he dropped a bombshell on this ministry. You know, in perfect Pastor Rory fashion, he knocked down our Legos. And he shook Barah to the core. And over the year, I've had the opportunity to get to hear dozens of your stories on how it affected you personally, and how it's affected your lives now, and how it's affected you spiritually. But I haven't shared my thoughts on the matter before. You know, I've kept quiet over the last year. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to use that opportunity today to share my thoughts on it. And I want to do that simply because I have a unique perspective. You know, I was a high school youth group leader before I came here at one of those large religious churches that we've talked so poorly about. We had 1,000-plus members. We taught 3 sessions every Sunday. We had a class for anything and everything you can even think of. We built multi-million dollar additions to our church debt-free. You know, we had a band, and we had a fully paid staff. But believe it or not, we never preached tithing at this church. We taught faith alone in Christ alone was your ticket to salvation. And we taught once you were saved, you were always saved, period. In fact, when you compare the subject matter of the two churches, of Barah and the church that I came from, they're virtually the same. But there was one thing that was taught, there was one difference. And that truly was legalism. You know, one church was pharisaical in their actions. One church was self-focused. One church was always all about bettering themselves. You know, one church continuously put down other Christian organizations. The other church preached love. The other church was constantly focused on other people. The other church did anything and everything they could within their power to help someone else's life. And the unfortunate reality is, we all know which church was which. You know, my other church never talked bad about other Christian churches down the street. And in fact, many times we joined with other Christian churches in community events, even though we had different denominations that we were affiliated with. That again, that's unity. It's Christians. It's people, human beings coming together from different Christian denominations and different affiliations with one common goal. That's to share the love of Christ. You know, even though that those organizations, they might have some disagreements with one another on different topics. Unity again. That's what I think about every single month that we have the Lord's Supper. Unity is what always comes to my mind. You know, I think about what Christ offered people who didn't even believe the same things which he taught, but he still loved them enough anyway. I think about how we can reflect that identical attitude. You know, Christ gave his life for people who didn't agree with him. You know, there's so much that I think that we can learn and apply to our lives from that example. From the example of God coming down himself and giving his own life on the cross for other people. It's putting others first, as I stress about often when I'm up here, especially when it's not convenient for us. That's what I want us to think about during the Lord's Supper. That being said, 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup also after the Lord's after supper, saying, "This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, and do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So please partake of the elements, and as you do so, focus on the unity that you have with Christ and the unity that you can have with each other also. Thank you.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, "I am strong." Let the poor say,
I'll take it. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So welcome back. After a first half like that, and after taking an entire year talking about this next subject, and with, well, if there's anybody up here who's willing to just tackle something that they probably shouldn't, it would be me. So I understand that what I'm about to say might raise some eyebrows, but I'm still going to say it anyway. And I understand that if you're thinking with the Pharisaical mindset, that I don't have the credentials to speak about this. But I do have the Bible. And I know that I'm a little bit late, but better late than never. So with that being said, I believe wholeheartedly that the doctrine of rebound negates the power of prayer. The doctrine of rebound negates the power of prayer. Now, I'm not beating a dead horse, by the way. You know, I know that we've, like I said, we've talked about this now for the last year. But there are still people out there who need to hear this. You know, you don't get to see everything that goes on in the background all the time, and there are still a lot of emails and conversations that are happening. And people need to hear this. And I know that what's on the board, that's a slightly different angle than you would think about. But hear me out on it. According to the doctrine of rebound, or doctrine of prayer, you can put them together if you want to, God doesn't hear my prayers unless all of my known sins first have been confessed. Or rather, you know, he hears them, but God doesn't have the ability to answer them. That means, if that's true, let's pretend that's true, then that means that every single prayer of mine throughout my entire life that's ever been answered has merely been a coincidence. Because I don't rebound. And if you heard my lesson last week, you know how important prayer is to me. And if I can get cocky, I have a pretty good success ratio too. So according to that, listen to this. If I rebound and I pray, then and only then, God will answer it. Hopefully. But if I don't rebound and I don't pray correctly, then God won't answer it. However, I still end up getting everything I prayed for. So that should raise a question. So of course I pose that question. And the rationale, literally this is the only rationale that anyone's ever told me, is, Caleb, that's only happening for you because God was already going to do that for you, whether you prayed or not. You know, it was already in his plan in eternity past for you. So then the obvious question then is, why in the world would I need to pray? If he's already going to do everything for me anyway, why do I even need to have a conversation with him? You know, and again, if you heard my lesson last week, there's one thing that I'm never going to budge on. That's the power of prayer. Because I do it and I see it and it works. You know, and Pastor Rory told me that if I'm ever going to get up here and I'm ever going to teach on something, that I better have biblical backing because he doesn't want me to come up here and teach my opinion. And don't worry, I'm not going to go into detail on this because, like I said, over the last year, it's already been done. So even though I don't think you need it, I went ahead and I spent way too much time to develop a list of Bible verses where confession's never even found. And all of these Bible verses are about prayer. And these verses, they talk about how to pray. These verses talk about how not to pray. These verses talk about what to pray for. And these verses talk about what not to pray for. Literally, these verses talk about anything and everything you could ever imagine about the topic of prayer. But not confession. In fact, the very few times in the Bible that confession's ever mentioned, it's in reference to pre-salvation. Now don't worry, I'm not going to go through all these verses for you because this list just continues to go. And I'm not going to keep you here till next year. But for over 3 years now, this has been on my mind. You know, most of you know, I moved my life down here for Christ and to be a part of this ministry. And I was told when I first got here that any teaching from this church that defied what this church believed was going to be extinguished immediately. Because Barah Ministries was not going to stand for legalism. Well, considering that I had just relocated 3 states away, you know, obviously I had a little dilemma. So I thought it might just be better if I just be quiet and I just keep to myself. The only thing that I knew is that I wanted to serve Christ and I wanted to do that by serving you. So I did the only thing that made sense to me. I prayed to God. I prayed that He would take care of this matter for me. And whether that was change the way Barah thought or change the way I thought, I didn't care. Well, it looks like God answered that prayer. This is going to come out one way or another. So I figured I'll just use this as the opportunity. You know, I owe it to you, Barah Ministries, as your deacon, to be up front. I owe it to you to be honest. And I owe it to you to exercise my spiritual gift on your behalf, no matter how inconvenient it might be for me. Even if it's not the easiest thing to do. So with that being said, I want to thank you for an incredible year. Because I think Manda said it best, this is like the teenage years in this church, and we're growing up, and it's been a blast to look back and see. Thank you for your continued support. Thank you for sticking through here, through the ups and downs, even though this last year might seem like more downs than ups. Thank you for tuning into the lessons that the deacons have put up. You know, it means a lot to us. It's edifying. You know, again, I'm excited to serve you, and I can't wait to see what the Lord has in store for us next year. That being said, we're going to have June come up. Once I get through these verses, we're going to have her come up and she's going to sing. We'll get there one day, I promise you. Maybe I'll just go a little faster. Maybe June won't sing. Maybe we'll just stay here. No, you'll sing. We're getting there. I put them in chronological order for us. There we go. June's going to sing. She's going to close us out with The Essence of God. Thank you.
Sovereignty.
Wow, that's really good. Jeremiah 29:11, probably one of my favorite verses. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, before all time and now, and forever. Let us pray. God, thank you for teaching us that we can work together despite differences. Thank you for teaching us that you work all things out for our benefit. I pray that you continue to form this ministry into your image. And I pray that you take us next year to places that we never even dreamt possible. Lord, I also want to pray for my friend Corey, whose dad just had a heart attack. And I pray that you be with him, be with his family, and be with those doctors. Lord, we also pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, and in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.
I can only give you love that lasts forever, and a promise to be near each time you call. And the only heart I own for you and you alone, that's all.